We are in a teaching series in Romans. Does anybody remember what we taught on last week? What's that? Being a slave. Yeah. To righteousness or being a slave to sin. Paul is incredible. The writer of Romans that we find in the Bible, this letter to this Roman church, this church is made up of Jewish people who know law, who know religion very, very well. And it's made up of Gentiles who know pagan stuff really, really well. And so Paul writes to this church of both of these populations, and he's got a lot of work on his hands, doesn't he? It's nothing like Whitewater, where we're just a church that makes up, you know, all these people that know how to do life and are really good at it, right? Okay. So Paul's writing, and he continues with this theme. I mean, we've been in it since Romans 6, Romans 5, and he just continues to press in on this theme. He's wanting us to understand and to own that there was a system that we once adhered to, and that was sin. And he keeps talking to us and pointing us to Jesus, because we no longer exist in this sin-filled system. We no longer exist in this wrong being because of what Jesus came to do. And if you don't know the Jesus story, here's what I want you to do. I'm going to give you some homework. If you want to know more about Jesus, you ready? Go read John. John. Not first, or second, or third. Just John. You can go on and read the other ones too. That's great. Reading is good. Education is good. But just go and read John. And you'll understand about Jesus. You'll hear about Jesus. You'll understand this miraculous thing that Jesus did for you. Today we're going to kind of talk about Jesus too, all right? But if you want to know more, you want to know the full story, go read John. It'll be incredible. So we actually busted into Romans 7. We finished up Romans 6 last week. And we talked about whether you're either a slave to righteousness or a slave to sin. But you have been busted out. You have been made free from being a slave to sin through what Jesus did for you. And this, Paul continues to go on, and he continues to unpack this idea, and he unpacks it in different ways. Are you ready for it? If you have a Bible, I want you reading along with me. We're in Romans 7. We're going to be reading verses 1 through 12. If you don't have a Bible, we have free Bibles out in the foyer for you. You just have to walk through the flood to get them. I'm just kidding. It's all cleaned up. It actually looks really nice. But there are Bibles out there right next to the earplugs. Go grab one. It's yours, free. Take it home. Don't bring it back. If you need to give it away to a friend, please do so and grab another one, all right? You can also download Bibles on your app, on your phone, a Bible app on your phone. I see a phone there. I just talked to a gentleman this morning. He said, "What's that app you keep talking about?" I said, "Which one? I like a lot of them." Angry Birds? Is that what you're talking about? No. But it's a great app, and it's got all these translations. Well, this week we're going to be reading out of the NLT, because a buddy of mine was talking about it, and I started looking at it, and I thought, well, let's give it a whirl. All right? New Living Translation. It says this. In Romans 7, Paul is speaking, and he says, "Now, dear brothers and sisters, you who are familiar with the law," that would be the Jews, okay? The Jews had this history with God, this whole being brought out of slavery in Egypt, out of that by God and these miraculous things through Moses and then Abraham and all these different people that played a part in their history up until this point. So they knew the law really well. They knew all 600 plus laws that there were that God came down to give. They knew the Ten Commandments well. Those are kind of easy because there's only 10 of them and you didn't have to memorize the other 600, all right? So there's these laws. In fact, it was funny. We were talking about, Chad was talking about a conversation he was having with his daughter this morning, and she said, "What are the Ten Commandments?" And he said, "It's a to-do list." Or a not-to-do list. And so you have this law. You have these people that are familiar with the law. So he's not saying Jews. He's kind of being candid. Those of you who are familiar with the law, they know who he's talking about, all right? The Jews. Don't you know that the law applies only while a person is living? For example, when a woman marries, the law binds her to her husband as long as he is alive. But if he dies, the law of marriage no longer applies to her. So while her husband is alive, she would be committing adultery if she married another man. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law and does not commit adultery when she remarries. You guys understanding the word picture? Husband's dead. She doesn't have to adhere to the law of marriage, right? You get it? Okay, moving on. So, my dear brothers and sisters, this is the point. You died to the power of the law when you died with Christ. Do you remember the very beginning of Romans 6? The very beginning of Romans 6, where he's talking about this baptism, this thing that happened. When you accepted Jesus and this baptism, where you go under this water and you come back out, and that represents this death and this burial and this resurrection. Do you remember when he was talking about that, Paul? It's very quiet. Well, he did talk about it. And that's what he's referring to this here, okay? You died to the power of law when you died with Christ, because Christ came and he died and he rose again for our sins, conquering death, conquering sin, this thing that entered the world through Adam and Eve, this thing that continued to enter the world through you and I, okay? Jesus died once and for all for it. So it's done, all right? You died with Christ, and now you were united with the one, Jesus, who was raised from the dead. As a result, we can produce a harvest of good deeds for God. When we were controlled by our old nature, this old sin nature, this wrong being in relationship to God, sinful desires were at work within us, and the law aroused these evil desires that produced a harvest of sinful deeds resulting in death. But now, we have been released from the law, for we died to it and are no longer captive to its power. Now we can serve God, not in the old way of obeying the letter of the law, but in the new way of living in the Spirit. Well then, am I suggesting that the law of God is sinful? Of course not! Paul's very subtle. In fact, it was the law that showed me my sin. I would never have known that coveting is wrong if the law had not said, "You must not covet." But sin used this command to arouse all kinds of covetous desires within me. If used, this command, if there were no law, sin would not have that power. At one time, I lived without understanding the law, but when I learned the command not to covet, for instance, the power of sin came to my life and I died. So I discovered that the law's commands, which were supposed to bring life, brought spiritual death instead. Sin took advantage of those commands and deceived me. It used the commands to kill me. But still, the law itself is holy, and its commands are holy and right and good. Does this sound kind of confusing? A little bit? It's like Paul opened a can of worms, and he's like, oh, crap, I just said that I need to keep talking more. In fact, as we move on in chapter 7 that Craig gets to teach next week, it's even more confusing, right? So he's talking about this thing. He's talking about this law, this to-do list, this system, and he's talking to a people that's all they've ever had. That's all they've ever known in this relationship to God. This system, don't do this. Don't do that. Sounds awesome, right? And many of you, if you have come here for the first time today, many of you probably think that's what church is about, right? It's just rules, regulation. And Paul is telling us, we died to that system, this old way, this old law, this old regulation. So that means we can just go and sin and keep sinning and keep sinning. This is going to be my soundbite on the internet. Local pastor says, this means we can just keep sinning, which Paul already addressed that. What did he say? Should we keep sinning that grace may abound? By no means. Means. exclamation point. I don't know where I came up with this. It's like a karate. I was watching too many Jackie Chan movies. By no means. So Paul is talking about this law. Like, well, so what does that mean? What are we left with? Why the law then? If the law's dead, the law's useless, this thing, that means it's fair game, right? Well, no, that's not at all what this means. The law served a purpose. The law was very much a mother. A mother saying, don't touch that stove. Does this make sense? You're laughing because you touched the stove. You're one of those kids. You were one of those kids. You might still touch the stove, all right? It's a mother saying, don't touch the stove. It will hurt you. In some cases, it can kill you. In other cases, it's just going to maim you for life. Don't do those things. Don't do that. But us, being the incredibly smart individuals that we are, I'm out of the lights. I like it. It's all dark over here. I can actually see you. Us, you can't see me. Here, by now. Us being the incredibly smart, crafty, cunning individuals that we are, we say, really? Is it really going to hurt that bad? I'm going to go touch that stove. I'm going to go find a fork and an outlet. That is what the law is. It's this warning. It's this motherly warning. It's this thing that tells us what's going to hurt us, what's going to maim us, what's going to kill us, what's going to destroy us. And so God puts this forth and says, these are the things. Stay away from these things. Don't do these things. And then all of a sudden, once we're told not to do them, what do we want to do? Yeah. You don't tell me that. That's a challenge. That's not a warning. That's a challenge. Oh, I can do that. I can't. I'll do it without getting hurt. I'll do it without getting third-degree burns. I'll do it because I think I can manage it because I don't have an addictive personality. I'll do it because it's only this once. And I just want to see. I just want to experiment. I just want to know what it's like. And then no more. I'll do it because in this instance, it's okay. Because that person really drives me nuts. It's starting to make sense in your world now? It's starting to click a little bit longer, a little more? And so we have this warning, don't touch the stove. And Jesus comes. And he said, I didn't come to abolish the law. I came to fulfill this thing, this very thing that I told you about, this very thing that I said put you in wrong being with me. I've come to fulfill it because you broke it. I'm going to come and I'm going to fix it. And it's been broke since the beginning of time. You remember the tree of evil, the tree of life, the knowledge of good and evil sitting in the garden? God says this whole thing is yours. This entire place is yours. Just don't touch. Not touch. Don't eat of that tree. Don't do it. Okay? And then you see sin creep in and you see this conversation between this Bible. The Bible calls it a serpent. This serpent starts speaking and says, well, God didn't really say that, did he? And Eve says, well, he said not to touch it or we're going to die. Which was like this twist on what God had actually said. It wasn't what God said. It's a twist on what God said. Because we have, as people, are awesome, right? We listen really well. We take in information and we just understand it really well. Well, God said not to touch it or we'll die. And the serpent says, well, surely you won't die. And what happens is they take this fruit from this tree, and all of a sudden sin and death entered the world. This wrong being, this misunderstanding of God, this hearing but not really understanding or doing what he asked us to do. And so Paul, years later, is addressing this very same concept. but telling us we are dead to this old law, this old way. And I say hallelujah, if I can use a really churchy word. I say hallelujah because I really love shellfish. I love pork. Okay? Anybody else in the room? Holla. Yeah. You love those things. But you know what? I also love it when I experience love. I love it when I experience grace when I don't deserve it. I love it when people care for me when I can't care for myself. I love it when people come up and speak kindly to me and speak words of edification. And I love it when people come up and speak words of rebuke even too when I need it. This is what the system does. This is what Jesus did. This is what this being dead to the law, this law that showed us our flaws, this law that showed us this great distance between us and God, this separation, that there was no way. All the songs that we just sang today, I shouldn't have even taught. You should have just kept reading those lyrics over and over again because it just talked about this concept of grace, this concept of there is no longer war between you and God. There's always been love. And so then what? What do we do with that? What do we abuse it? Do we keep going back to the stove? Do we keep going back to the outlet? Do we keep going back and defaulting to these things that God said, this is death for you, not only you, but everybody else around you? Do we keep doing those things? And some of us in the room today have come, and you can answer yes to that question. There's some of us today that have come that have been fighting that battle, that have been warring with that. I no longer am a slave to this system. I don't have to do those things anymore. I'm no longer controlled by those things. Those are not what drives me. It's the Holy Spirit that drives me, that's within me. It's what Jesus did on the cross that drives me, that's within me. Those are the things that drive me now, not myself. Not my issues, not my insecurities, not my fears, not my baggage. Those things I died to. That doesn't drive the bus anymore. God does. I was visiting with a dear friend this week, and she said, I heard you mention the word freedom last week in your teaching, and I want to know more about that. I don't understand it. I want to understand it. I say yes to those things. And she said, give me a bulleted list. Would you please write some law down for me? That's what we want, right? Because then we can check it off. Yeah? I'm like that. Give me a list. I'll get it done. Can you give me a bulleted list? And I said, well, how about the words of Jesus in a little book we like to call John? Not first, second, or third. Just John. In John 8, Jesus says these words, and it's incredible. And I don't have it up here. I wasn't even planning on talking about this. That's the beauty of not having notes. You just say whatever you want to say. And the words in John, from Jesus in John 8, Jesus says, if you do this, if you live this out, if you stick with this, everything that I've been telling you, everything that I've been saying, you will see truth. And the truth will set you free. If you do this, if you live it out, do this, live it out, you'll experience truth. And the truth will set you free. Jesus didn't say you're going to die to yourself. You're going to You're gonna accept me. You're gonna say yes to me. You're gonna go into these baptismal waters. And it's all done. You have nothing to work on. You have nothing to change because I've done it for you. I think that's my misrepresentation of that a lot of times, is when I was baptized, when I said yes to Jesus, when I went through the motions of this thing, I came out of this water and I was like, yes! And I was a porn addict for years. Well, God, I thought that was in the water. I thought that was, you should have done that for me. You should have taken that away. You should have sobered this up. You should have just taken away. You should have made me blind. So I didn't have to deal with pornography any longer. So I didn't have to devalue your creation any longer. And in a sense, Jesus did do this stuff. Jesus died for that. Covered all of these wrong beings. And continues to do that. Continues to cover this wrong being, this old way of life for me that creeps up every once in a while. And Paul talks about that. He says, you know, you're not a slave to sin, but he fully expects that we're probably going to sin and be in wrong being afterwards as well. But that's no longer what drives a bus. So for us this morning, you, me, the law is dead. This wrong being in relationship to God, in relationship with our Creator, is dead. For those of us that say yes to Jesus, for those of us that want to see our worlds change, that those of us that live by the Spirit, it's dead. And we still have to, day by day, wrap our minds around that, what that means. Because I want to live in this false system. I want to live in a law system still. So what does that mean for us? What do we do with this information? How do we go forward from here? You guys teach me. Do you have any ideas? That was a serious question. A serious ask. You know what? I think I'm going to go back to the words in John. I think I'm going to go back to the words in Jesus. If you do these things, if you live these things out, how do you understand what these things are? Where are you going to go for finding out what Jesus has to say? This is going to sound very textbook. This is going to sound very vacation Bible school-ish, all right? Where are you going to go for that? Say what? Yeah, man. We're going to go to the Word? We're going to go to these disciples and apostles that have wrote letters to churches? We're going to go find out where our history is, where we've come from, where we're going, where we're headed, what Jesus has already done, what Jesus continues to do, what Jesus desires for you, what Jesus desires for your neighbor, how Jesus desires you to love your neighbor as yourself, as Jesus desires you to love yourself. How are you going to find that out? I would say go to the Word. If you do these things, if you stick it out, if you do these things that I'm talking about, you're going to start knowing truth. And the truth is going to set you free. I think I'm going to go to the Word. I think I'm going to just devour this and find out, okay, God, what do you say about these things? I was having a conversation at 1:30 in the morning on Friday morning. We were talking about a guy who is just having some marital issues. And he was telling us his best laid plans for his life and what he wanted to do and what he was going to do. And he was very confused. And he said, I don't want to, what did he say? Something to the effect of, I don't want to ruin my life by being a worship pastor. And I was just like, huh. Okay. I'm going to do this. And I said, well, wait a minute. What does God say you should do? And he looked at me a little dumbfounded, baffled. Like, it wasn't even in the equation. It wasn't even in the picture. And this is a guy going to seminary to become a pastor. And it didn't even dawn on him that God might actually have a say in his life. Didn't even enter his mind. Didn't even enter his world. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do this because I don't want to ruin the rest of my life by just being a worship pastor. I think God might want to speak into that a little bit. I'm not saying you're doomed to just be this terrible worship pastor for the rest of your life. I think God might want to have a say in that. Never once left his lips. And I hear that so often from you and I. I'm going to do this. I'm going to be this. Never once thinking, well, what does God say? Our Creator wants you. God wants you. God wants to be involved with every piece of you. He didn't come and die just for making us feel good about ourselves. He didn't come and raise from the dead just because he wanted to show us a neat magic trick. Okay? He died because he's loved you. He's always loved you. I just had a curse word running through my head that I will not say from the stage. He died for your cheapest version of you. For the cheapest version of me. That we so often want to give him. And he said, you know what, son? You know what, daughter? This is okay. I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to take care of it. And I ask that you love me. I ask that you understand what I'm doing. I ask that you see fully what I'm doing. You don't have to continue doing what you're doing any longer. I'm going to change that system. I'm going to change that world. You no longer adhere to just being this sinful, driven creature. You can be a creature driven by love. You can be a creature driven by my words, my truth, my freedom. If you just choose it, if you just say yes to it, if you just own it, if you just live it. Change is possible for you right now. It really is. I have hope for that change. If I didn't, I would just shut up shop and Whitewater wouldn't exist. I have hope for your change. I have hope for your rest of your life, walking in this truth, walking in this freedom, walking no longer a slave to the law, no longer adhering to this law, but adhering to Jesus and what he says for your life. Will you own it? Will you grab onto it? Will you live it? God, speak words where I can't speak words right now. God, infect our thought life. Replace the me's and the I's and the our ways with yours, God, with your way, with you, with who you say we are. God, this concept of being dead to the law is confusing. This concept of being your sons and daughters is confusing. And it's because it's too easy. It's too much grace. It's too much love that we're not used to experiencing here today. It's things that we can't fathom. But Father, let us own the words of Jesus. If we do this, if we stick with it, if we live the way you've asked us to live, we're going to start seeing truth. We're going to start seeing our worlds change. We're going to start seeing the people around us worlds change. And we're going to start seeing your kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven, as you speak about. It's here, it's now. We're going to see this fleeting happiness that we carry around in ourselves replaced with true and ultimate joy that only comes through your salvation, that only comes by you making it right with us and you. God, I pray for the desires of sin, these things that we mess around with, these things that we toy with, the things that we hear from you that we take as a challenge that we need to just dive into. God, break us of those. Remind us of who we are in you. Remind us of the kingdom that we live in. Remind us of the ways that you've asked us to walk in. God, when you remind us of those things, may they be met with love and may they be met with obedience. And it's in your name we pray. And everybody said,